W. Bush, a complete dunce, used his case to justify the CIA's enhanced interrogation program, claiming that he had run a terrorist camp in Afghanistan where some of the 9/11 hijackers trained and that he helped smuggle al-Qaeda leaders out of Afghanistan so that they would not be captured by U.S. military forces. But as Rebecca Gordon reveals in her brilliant piece in Counterpunch, none of it was true. American officials lied through their teeth to justify their crimes against Abu Zubaydah and many other innocent people. The CIA hired two contractors, the psychologists Bruce Jessen and James Mitchell, to work on Abu Zubaydah. Their mission was to induce what they called learned helplessness, meant to reduce a suspect's resistance to interrogation. They charged $81 million for their services to test their theories about using torture to extract information. Using a plan drawn up by Jessen and Mitchell, Abu Zubaydah was waterboarded 83 times in the course of a single month. What is waterboarding? It included strapping a victim to a wooden board, placing cloth over his entire face, and gradually pouring water through the cloth until he began to chalk. At one point during this endless cycle of torture, the Senate committee reported that Abu Zubaydah became completely unresponsive, with bubbles rising through his open, full mouth. Each of those 83 uses of what was called the watering cycle consisted of four steps. Number one, demands for information interspersed with the application of the water just short of blocking his airway. Number two, escalation of the amount of water applied until it blocked his airway and he started to have involuntary spasms. Number three, raising the waterboard to clear subject's airway. And number four, lowering of the waterboard and return to demands for information. Throughout the CIA videotaped Abu Zubaydah's torture, but destroyed the tapes in 2005 when the news of their existence leaked and the embarrassment and possible future culpability of the agency seemed increasingly to be at stake. CIA Director Michael Hayden would later assure CNN that the tapes had been destroyed only because they no longer had intelligence value and they posed a security risk, whose security one wonders. In addition to waterboarding, the Senate torture report indicates that Abu Zubaydah endured excruciating stress positions which caused terrible pain without leaving a mark, sleep deprivation for up to 180 hours, which generally induces hallucinations or psychosis, unrelenting exposure to loud noises, another psychosis inducer, walling, the agency's term for repeatedly slamming the shoulder blades into a flexible false wall. Though Abu Zubaydah told the International Committee of the Red Cross that when this was first done to him, he was slammed directly against a hard concrete wall. And confinement for hours in a box so cramped that he could not stand up inside it. All of these methods of torture had been given explicit approval in a memo written to the CIA's head lawyer, John Rizzo, by Jay Bybee, who was then serving in the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel. In that memo, Bybee approved the use of 10 different techniques on Abu Zubaydah. Make no mistake, American officials are war criminals and torturers. The U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence Torture report on December 2014 confirmed this in writing.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave radio, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 19:20 to 20:20. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and we are here to present yet another episode of A Muslim Lady. If you remember, we have been discussing different issues regarding Muslim Lady. I'm Farman Ali Masumi, and with me in the studio, my wife, Razia Batur Najafi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. I'm so glad that we are continuing the beautiful subject.
We were collecting the beautiful corals and pearls and diamonds from the beautiful sayings of Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha, to, you know, enhance our day-to-day life, especially a Muslim lady. How should she enhance her character and her day-to-day life according to these beautiful guidelines from the Lady of Noor, Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha? So one of her ahadith is regarding ladies. This is again a very, very wonderful hadith. If we understand this hadith, this enlightening hadith, it can solve so many problems. It can enhance our thinkings towards life, especially our ladies, our females. In this beautiful hadith, she says, خِيَارُكُمْ أَلْيَنُكُمْ مَنَاكِبُهُ وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. Wow, the best of you are those who are humble and they show respect to their women. This is a very short hadith, but it has so many lessons within it. the best amongst you are those who are humble towards their wives, toward their ladies, and they show respect to them.
I'm just thinking that if someone asks us that who's the best in the eyes of Lady Fatimah Zahra salamullah alayha, maybe we would say that the one who does the zikr of tasbih of Janabe Fatimah Zahra salamullah alayha, the one, you know, who recites Surah Waqia.
Yeah,
or,
pious,
you know,
like, person. Yeah, does, yeah. So many ibadah, does Salatul Layl, or, you know, does recite a lot of,
yeah,
Quran.
But look at her. She mentions a form of worship that is often underestimated. Like, we, yeah, don't, you know, pay attention to this aspect of life, which is really neglected in our day-to-day life. And that is to remember Allah in one's akhlaq, in one's behavior. Allah in Quran and teaching of Ahlul Bayt. You know, the fragrance of those teaching should be, you know, very appear in your behavior, in your manners.
Yeah, definitely their life was full of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt. That's why all their ahadith, all their sayings are also full of this beautiful connection of the creature towards the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this hadith also, Lady Fatimah Zahra salamullah alayha mentions that we should always keep this beautiful relation between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in return, in consequence, if we keep this relation and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our minds, then definitely our behavior towards His creation here, His other creation, also will be perfect. One of His creations are ladies, females, and especially Muslim lady.
Exactly.
And we have to be very respectful. Again, this is the one of the very, very essential and vital qualities we should have within ourselves to get respected, to have a very beautiful and fruitful life. Yeah. So we are going to have a short break. Please, listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned. Inshallah, we'll come back soon.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear listeners. If we respect our mothers, our daughters, our wives, we will get a very respected environment, full of respect and full of good qualities.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, and which is, we are lacking, unfortunately, nowadays in our day-to-day life, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. And the way she's connecting it with faith, with iman, like Hazrat Fatima, yeah, makes it clear that our faith revolves around the notion of respect towards women. Like, yeah, if you have this quality, you have faith. If you don't have this quality, you don't have faith. You know, faith on Allah can be seen, yeah,
yeah,
here,
yeah,
in,
yeah,
this area of life. And we have these kind of ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam too. The same message you will get from Ahlul Bayt. You know, all the infallibles, they are just stressing a lot that your tawheed, your monotheism, like level of remembering akhira and hereafter, can see in your akhlaq and behavior.
Definitely. And unfortunately, nowadays, husbands, they don't respect,
yeah,
their wives, their, even their moms.
You know why? Because we have heard about respecting parents, respecting children, respecting husbands. But we never have heard really,
yeah,
about respecting women, you know? Therefore, we are so much absence in this era of akhlaq, you know. So I love this one more amazing hadith from Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha. Like, it shows that how much she's giving importance to akhlaq, how cheerful you are. She says, Al-bishru fi wajhi al-mu'min yujibu li sahibihi al-jannah. Like, good manners, yeah, cheerfulness are the path to heaven for the believer. So husband can just go towards the Jannah
because of,
by
respecting his wife. Yeah,
exactly. And usually wives, they're always looking for cheerful face of their husbands, you know. And
definitely all the wives, they are lacking this respect. If they get this respect, you know, then definitely they can make their home, the environment, totally a heavenly environment, a heavenly home. So where everybody can grow full of respect and full of love.
Yeah. And one more thing which I really like is that, you know, not only Lady Fatima, like, this is so important. I really want to stress, and I want the Muslim ladies to pay attention to this aspect of Islam. That, you know, whenever we say Islam, a religious guy, a religious husband, doesn't mean that the one who's always praying, you know, too much attentive in majalis. No. Not only that, you know, but the qualities of good, true mu'min Muslim, again, it shows in his akhlaq. Therefore, even Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says that those who will go to heaven have four signs and four indicators. Number one, they're always cheerful. Number two, their tongue is very, very gentle. Yeah?
Yeah.
And number three, their heart is very kind. And number four, their hands are very generous. So generous, number one. Number two, you know, kind heart. Number three, the tongue is very soft. So husbands, if they are using their tongue very softly towards the family members, that person can lead towards, inshallah,
Jannah. That's why
Jannah.
Lady Fatima Zahra says, khiyarukum alyanukum. Alyan means very humble.
Yeah. Layyan,
down to earth
and soft.
Yeah, soft spoken. And if we are soft spoken and humble and respectful towards our wives and our family members, then definitely our ladies, our wives, they would be very nice with all the family members. Then in result, we will have a very healthy and good relationship between wife and father-in-law, wife and
mother-in-law.
That is the biggest
challenge,
dilemma.
Yeah. And I love to mention here that this is the saying of Aisha. Yeah, the wife of Holy Prophet.
And I wanted to say the same point, yeah.
Yeah, and there are numerous narration, you know, and those narrations are very authentic, in which she says that, I have not seen anyone who resembled the Holy Prophet more in manners, habits, character, and in the method of sitting and standing, then Fatima Zahra Salamullahi Alayha.
This young girl, how she can, you know, manifest and resemble the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in all aspects of his life.
It wasn't easy to make everyone satisfied and happy in a big family, because in Arabs, you know, especially in those times, you know, there were wives of Rasulullah, so many children are
joint family system.
But not directly joined, but still they used to meet a lot.
Daily
and
basis.
Everyone is praising her. Like, if someone doesn't like her, but still her akhlaq, you know, her behavior is so good that even others are, you know, they are also praising her.
Yeah, this is a beautiful point, that even the people who didn't have good relations with you, they didn't like you, even some kind of enmity they have towards you, even they are praising the lady Fatima
yeah. Zahra. Because, you know, as a Muslim lady, we are always facing this problem in our family that, you know, maybe my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law,
especially,
you know,
mother-in-law.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she doesn't appreciate my hard work. And, you know, whatever I do, she never gets satisfied with me. So how can I come and solve my problem? Especially, we can solve it mentally. You know, it's not necessary that everything would look rosy and very nice and perfect. No, 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 no. You know, the meaning is that, like, I love this concept of Lady Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha. She's teaching us as a Muslim ladies that if you get higher, for example, if you go closer to Lady Fatima's teaching, so you are thinking very high, you're aiming high. Yeah.
And so you neglect those small problems. You don't see even.
Exactly. Yeah. That is the solution. Yeah. It doesn't mean that, if you are following Lady Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha's teaching, so you will get the best husband and the best mother-in-law. No, 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 no.
It will widen your thinking. It will purify you. You know, you are that thinking that you can handle it very easily.
Exactly. You will not get that much grief out of it, you know. You will not
so
get
the
out
wealth
of
or
control.
Being poor, these things are, you know, not important at all. The important thing is your mentality, your consciousness, your knowledge and attention towards these beautiful sayings of our infallibles like Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha.
Indeed, indeed. I totally agree with it. And I think mostly we are neglecting this area of our training, the way we can take this training from this institute. We are neglecting it, that if I change my perspective towards this dunya, towards the relationship, I can have a very heavenly life, you know, like my heart,
very
my
peaceful,
mind, my soul, like too much, you know, harmony should be there. And this is the amazing magical teaching of Lady Fatima Zahra for us, especially as a Muslim ladies, even now in this era and in this time.
What a beautiful hadith and what a beautiful explanation. I hope our dear listeners also have enjoyed. Dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us contemplate on what Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, the 15th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, has said about Imam Mahdi. May God hasten his reappearance. The master of the command was named as Mahdi because he will dig out the Torah and other heavenly books from the cave in Antioch. He will judge among the people of the Torah according to the Torah, among the people of gospel according to the gospel, among the people of Psalms in accordance with the Psalms, among the people of the Quran in accordance with the Quran.
Happy Iranian New Year! Happy Nowruz! In lockstep with spring, the season of renewal and freshness, and the greening of nature, we here at Arabi English Radio wish you happiness and prosperity.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Turkey inaugurates the world's longest suspension bridge over the Dardanelles Strait. The bridge is more than 2 kilometers long and connects Turkey's European and Asian shores. It cuts travel time between the two locations to just 6 minutes. A consortium of Turkish and South Korean firms began constructing the huge bridge in 2017 with a budget of 2.5 billion euros. 5,000 workers participated in the colossal undertaking. Passenger vehicles must pay a fare of 200 Turkish liras or around $14 to use the bridge. In Peru, paleontologists have unearthed the skull of a ferocious marine predator that is an ancestor of the modern-day whale. The 36-million-year-old skull was dug up intact after it was discovered in Peru's southern desert. The fossil belongs to an ancient mammal whose contemporary descendants include dolphins. Recreations of how the animal looked like show it mostly resembles a giant lizard that moved like a snake. Paleontologists say it was a top predator measuring some 12 meters long.
The discovery is very important because the skull is in a perfect state of preservation. The skull and the jaw are in the right anatomical position. The teeth are complete. It's very possible this might be a new Basilosaurus species. If this is so, there is no other fossil like this one anywhere else in the world.
Salas further explained when the ancient animal died, its skull might have sunk to the bottom of the seafloor where it was quickly preserved. The skull, measuring 1.3 meters long, was unveiled at Lima's Museum of Natural History. The Peruvian desert is rich in fossils and offers scientists 42 million years worth of evolutionary evidence. Other fossils found there include the four-legged dwarf whale and sharks, among others. A painter in Pakistan shifts from trucks to trainers to uncover a hip new canvas for his famous truck art. Haydar Ali says he works on each pair of shoes for up to 4 days, and his paint of choice is mainly acrylic. He also uses other forms of durable material such as oil paints to get the job done. The seasoned artist charges select clients $400 for each set. His designs feature intricate bespoke patterns including flowers, peacocks, and wildly colorful motifs. He says new requests typically arrive every 4 days. Orders for painted trainers started pouring in for the truck artist after a surge of social media interest.
Ideas keep popping up for me, and sometimes clients have ideas. A client came to me from the US asking for a painting on some shoes. I told him an exorbitant fee to discourage him, but he agreed, so I decided, let's do it then.
He has dispatched 8 pairs to various places in Pakistan and abroad since he first started painting trainers in January. Ali comes from a family of truck artists who made a living off of painting lorries. He came to international fame when his work was exhibited at a museum in the US 2 decades ago. So far, the veteran truck artist has applied his craft to an airplane as well as a passenger car, among others. The art form is mainly seen on Pakistani trucks, and today, the trade is one of the country's most famous cultural exports.
Archaeologists have discovered a 500-year-old Aztec altar with 164 in Mexico City, Mexico's largest starfish offering discovered to date. Archaeologists believe it was built around the year 1500. Jaguar bones and other remains such as seashells were also found. Scientists believe the fossils found correspond to a species known as chocolate chip sea star or Nidorella armata.
This is really interesting because if you think about it, chocolate chip sea star looks like the skin of a jaguar. It's orange with dark spots. Probably that is why this species was selected, but we still need to analyze all the starfish because we found 160 of them and we think they all belong to the same species. But we need to research further every one of them.
According to experts, the location of the altar within the Templo Mayor complex and the jaguar motifs suggest the offering was related to the war. Mexico is brimmed with archaeological sites of several civilizations, including Aztecs. Retired racehorses could be retrained for a new role as so-called therapy horses. According to a study led by the University of Bristol, veterans and disabled children, as well as those struggling with mental health issues, can benefit from the therapy horses. The three-year study aims to provide a global standard for the racing industry and a toolkit for retraining racehorses. A racehorse's career can last anywhere between 2 and 10 years, but better could be done to make use of these beautiful creatures soon after they're retired.
So racehorses, when they finish their racing careers, and they can finish as young as sort of 3 or 4 years old, they really don't want to be just standing around in fields for the next 20, 30 years. And they're so versatile that I really believe there's a job for 99% of them. I think there's almost a sixth sense with the horse. So with people needing therapy, whether that's mental health or physical disabilities, there seems to be sort of something that gels between a horse and a human.
Horse trainers say with the thoroughbred's lifespan between 25 to 30 years, this study's aim is crucial for their long-term welfare. Over 7,000 racehorses end their career every year in Britain, with many going into eventing and pleasure riding. A killer whale beached on a Mexican shore has been rescued by locals and environmentalists. Volunteers with a group called Youth Allied to the Environment helped carry the orca out of the sea. The whale was loaded onto a truck and taken to a large dock for medical examination. Volunteers say locals gathered to form a human chain in an effort to quickly fill the tub with water. The orca is being treated at a marine biology department of the Yucatan Autonomous University. Veterinarians say the whale appeared to have some pulmonary problems and will be released back to the ocean after the recuperation.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
To some people, it is just garbage, but to this Filipino woman, recyclable items have become a source of livelihood as she turns them into beautiful outfits. Leonora Biovaje is an experienced dressmaker who can weave and stitch nearly any type of material together to make fashionable frocks and gowns. She uses newspapers, plastic wrappers, and rice sacks as her clothing materials. She says rice sacks have the advantage of print and patterns, which both bring texture and color to her designs. This seamstress says she often uses packaging and bubble wraps from her children's delivery orders to make her gowns, among other materials.
It's good to use recycled materials because the cost is inexpensive. All you are really paying for is labor. It is durable, colorful, and we can help the environment at the same time.
She says her dresses sell for $30 to $50 and are used in weddings and other debut events. The recycled materials used for each dress would depend on her client's request. Her designs using recycled materials have also caught the attention of local fashion events. Leonora says she hopes to inspire others to create clothing out of ordinary recycled materials.
Elephant Day in Thailand. The country celebrates a large animal as a source of national pride and cultural identity throughout its history. One celebration took place in Chonburi province on the eastern Gulf of Thailand coast. Dozens of elephants were hosted at a famous botanical park. The animals were treated to 2 tons of fruits and vegetables laid out on a table as wide as 8 meters. Elephants in the past were used for labor, transport, and in battlefields by warriors and kings, but nowadays they're no longer used for heavy duty jobs.
And time have changed. These elephants now, they are no longer used. We have better equipment to carry log and all that. So they become what we call homely elephant. These have been their life. We train them, they rest among us, we give them food. So now they have a homely life. Hopi life, we have to support them. So now they go to the tourist attraction place, they're riding elephant, and all this is.
The feast takes place on March 13th every year and commonly in various parts of Thailand. But this year, celebrations were few because of the COVID pandemic and the economic woes that have come with it. Competition at stand-up paddleboard events is fierce, but competing on Europe's biggest underground lake adds another level of difficulty. One such race has been held in Switzerland as part of the 7-stage Alpine Lakes Tour. Some 60 paddlers have competed on the 300-meter-long underground lake on an illuminated course. Organizers named it the Bat Race because it was staged in a cave.
It's a great day because we are on an underground lake, and this only takes place here. There's nothing like this elsewhere, and really, the atmosphere is great because we are in the dark. We paddle without knowing where we are going. It's a really fun atmosphere.
Other athletes were excited about the setting, describing it as wonderful and magnificent. They said it was magical to see the trout deep underwater inside the cave. Others said they sometimes struggled to breathe, but all the participants agreed that it was absolutely fun.
Local fishermen have rescued an injured baby manatee on a bay in far southeastern Cuba. The fishermen are nursing the injured baby manatee with cow and goat milk mixed with coconut water. They discovered the injured manatee with gashes on his head and body in Maria del Portillo Bay near Havana. Upon arrival on shore, the fishermen recruited volunteers for a nearby farming village.
We were fishing along the shore when we saw the manatee coming. When it approached us, we realized it was injured. It had several wounds on its body, one on the head and two on the rest of the body. Between the two of us, we made the decision to take her to the port of Maria del Portillo, where the boats were moored. When we got there, the whole town was very surprised. Some people ran to help us, others ran to get milk. Seeing that it was small and knowing that it's a mammal, we decided to give it some milk. The people who have cows gave us cow's milk. Those who have goats gave us goat's milk.
Manatees are aquatic mammals akin to giant water-borne cow. The mammal is found in sheltered bays and estuaries throughout Cuba. Scientists say coastal communities could play a key role in protecting marine species and their habitats.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of this program, today's special, Salamun Alaikum. Thank you very much. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Be with us because we're going to speak about hosting in the view of Islam.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted, 'cause I know that one day suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you.
Today, Thursday, is the 21st of Shaban, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Farvardin, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of March, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is a part of Chapter Ahzab, verse 53.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام غير ناظرين إناه ولكن إذا دعيتم فدخلوا فإذا طعمتم فانتشروا ولا مستأنسين لحديث.
O you who have believed, do not enter the houses of the Prophet except when you are permitted for a meal, without awaiting its readiness. But when you are invited, then enter. And when you have eaten, disperse without seeking to remain for conversation.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
You should neither enter a house out of place when you have been invited for it, nor ignore the invitation, nor stay there for a long time after eating the meal. It is evident that contrasting these efforts causes trouble for the host, and it does not agree with the principles of ethics. For the third ordinance, the verse implies that you should not form a meeting of conversation in the house of the Holy Prophet, nor in any other host's house.
شر الاخوان من تكلف له شر الاخوان من تكلف له حديث از امير المؤمنين.
In a beautiful hadith, Imam Ali alayhi salam states, the worst kind of guest is the one for whom the host bears hardship and difficulty. By hardship, we mean the host tries hard to prepare more than what he really can afford, or to borrow money from this and that, so that he can invite a guest to his house. Imam Ali alayhi salam stated, I love three things. One is feeding the guest, the second is fighting with sword, and the third one is fasting during summertime. As you can see, Imam Ali alayhi salam likes to invite the guests to his house. However, when compared with today's etiquettes of invitation, you can find that how complicated and difficult it is for the people to invite each other to their houses. The main reason is takalluf, or pretentious behavior of the people to show as if they are rich. When we look at previous generations, we can see how much simple were their gatherings and meetings. Sometimes during a year, two brothers cannot invite each other because they try hard to do the best things and they cannot afford it, so they leave the very nature of invitation itself and meeting the kinsfolk itself.
Hospitality towards guests. A guest enjoys a special place in Islam. Honoring the guest is tied to the faith of a true believer. Across the world, you will find Muslims doing their best to offer hospitality to the guest in their home or their community. Entering a guest is important. It signifies the respect and concern of a host towards his guest and towards Allah. Hospitality in Islam is a triangle that links Allah, the guest, and the host. By virtue of extending hospitality, a guest develops love and respect for his host. Relationship between them is strengthened. Conflicts are resolved. Divine blessings descend, and there is blessing in sustenance. Moreover, he or she, a host, gets opportunities to get rewards by pleasing his guest. Most of all, a host has the privilege to please Allah Almighty and his beloved Prophet.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin istin. In this episode, we are going to talk about the etiquettes conventions of giving ceremonies or holding ceremonies and inviting guests. In a piece of hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the first infallible Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, that there are five types of people. If they receive any humiliation, they should blame nobody. They should blame none but themselves. And one of those eight groups of people are, those people who go to a place, to a reception, without having been invited. One should try not to be an uninvited guest, because, when someone, attends a session or a place without having received any invitation, first of all, it surely exerts some pressure on the host. And another one is that since he hasn't been invited to a reception, he will usually not receive the due attention, and this will bring about some humiliation for such kind of guests. Another indication in this regard is that one of the rights of the guests is that when someone goes, for example, when someone comes to your home as your guest, and when the guest wants to leave the house, it's his right. It's his or her right to be accompanied by you. You should accompany your guest at least, outdoors, at least out of the gate of your house, in order to show your guest that you've been honoring him.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow.
forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
How to host a guest while they're there? Get them situated after they're eating. Show them, the guests, the way to their room. If you haven't already carried their luggage to their home for them, have the Wi-Fi password written down and give it to them so they don't have to ask. Show them the direction of the Qibla. The other things that we can do for our guests, planning things for them to do. If you are not sure what things there are to do in your city, look it up on TripAdvisor, developing on your schedule and how much time you can spend with them. You may or may not be able to accompany your guests, but it's always a good idea to be able to tell them about places in town they can visit. If your guests have their own plans or are also visiting other people, give them some breathing space.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي.
Etiquette guide for being the ideal guest. Be extremely helpful. Unhelpful guests rarely get invited back. Things you should offer to do. Help prep or cook meals. Set the table and do the dishes. Drive people in your car. Occupy the kids while their parents take a well-deserved nap. Fix a little something around the house. If you have the skills, even if you're turned down, the hosts will appreciate the gesture. Things you should do without asking for a thumbs up. Clean your dishes when you're done eating. Buy some groceries and maybe the fixing for cocktails. Get your own kids out of the house for an hour or two. Fill up the tank if you borrow the car. Strip your sheets at the end of your stay. Unless you're told otherwise.
Let me read this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, where he says, لا تزال أمتي بخير ما تحابوا وتهادوا. My ummah will be good as long, as they love each other and they gift to each other. وَتَهَادَوْا. They gift to each other. وَأَدَّوْا الْأَمَانَ. And they honor and respect what is entrusted to them. وَاجْتَنَبُوا الْحَرَامِ. And they avoid sin. وَقَرُّوا الضَّيْفِ. And they dignify and they honor the guest. And then there's this hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he says, قوت الأجسام الطعام. The energy, the sustenance of your body is food. وقوت الأرواح. And the sustenance, the energy of your soul is الإطعام. What a beautiful hadith. قوت الأجسام الطعام وقوت الأرواح الإطعام. The energy, the sustenance of your soul is feeding others, of is al-it'am, or feeding others. How mustahab it is for us to be able to accommodate and be a good host and show our kindness, our generosity in ikram al-dhaif and making sure that we are the best of dhuyuf. You know, there are so many interesting stories that can be mentioned in this regard, but I'll have to leave it at that. Inshallah, we will continue on.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. We were speaking about hosting in the view of Islam, Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic. Till another episode, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi,
Muhammad Nabi, علي إمامي.
لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.